Now we're going to move on to the next part of the program. Sadiq is going to discuss requests for interviews.
So good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to talk about the requests for interviews, just going over what is an RFI, what's the purpose, why the reason why do we issue the RFI in the first place, determining competitive interest, and then what are the kind of items to be submitted when an applicant is providing responses to an RFI. So the request for interest is really, it's a tool, it's a formal indication of submissions of interest. So really, before we go ahead and issue a lead for a particular area of the OCS, we'd really like to find out who the interested parties are. A, is it just one entity that is interested, more than one entity interested, and who those interested parties are. It's really a tool just to gauge what the level of interest is before we go ahead and pursue the leasing of renewable energy. And this RFI is used for all kinds of leases, whether it's a commercial or a limited lease. It is published in the Federal Register. The RFI is published in the Federal Register and is followed by a comment period. Typically, the comment period is approximately 60 days. And only those submissions, do you have a deadline, the close of the comment period, only responses that you receive by that deadline will be Why are we required to issue the RFI? And I think Tim mentioned this earlier in his presentation as well. The simple answer is we are required according to the Energy Policy Act. It requires us, the OCSA, the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act, requires the OEM to issue leases competitively unless we determine that there is no competitive interest. So we really just cannot go ahead and issue a lease. We need to find out who the interested parties are in that particular area. Is there one entity or is there more than one entity? The RFI will assist. It's really a tool. It just gives us guidance, provides us with a way to find out whether there is competitive interest in a particular area. So what happens once we issue the RFI? We issue the RFI in the Federal Register. There is a comment period of approximately 60 days, and then once that comment period closes, we evaluate all the responses that we have received, and we will make a determination, and I think Tim went over this in detail earlier as well, make a determination of whether there is competitive interest. So we will get to know that for this particular polygon that we put out, was there one party that was interested, or was there multiple parties? If there was more than one party, let's say two entities, was there any geographic overlap? Did they have overlapping interests, or were they interested in the same area? If not, if there is no geographic overlap, or if there is only one entity, then clearly there's no competition. But there could have cases of intra-track competition also, which Tim explained earlier. It's simply, it's not because of geographic reasons that there is competition, but let's say we have the state wants only X megawatts of capacity, renewable energy capacity, and we receive responses for more than that X amount. So then what we would have to do is between those two entities who submitted responses, we will have to have competition among those two entities for that X amount of capacity. So it's really inter-track competition, is competition other than geographic reasons. What are some of the items to be submitted in response to an RFI? So here I've highlighted some of the key items, and these are also outlined here in my booth. The first one is site location. So very simply, is where are you planning to propose your activity? Where on the OCS are you interested? How many blocks are you interested? The second is the timing and the scope of the timing and type of activity. So when approximately do you have an idea of when your project is scheduled to be online? What is the type of activity or technology that you bring to the table? What kind of infrastructure is going to be proposed for your project? So for example, if you're proposing farm technology or wind facility on the OCS, how are you going to connect that? How is it going to be brought to shore? What kind of pipelines are going to be involved? Another thing that may be required also is you're getting it to shore, so what is the capacity to get that electricity to shore? Is there any substation that exists? Are there existing substations? Or if there aren't any existing substations, what are your plans for making a new substation? So everything related to infrastructure plays a key role, because we'd really like to know how, in the RFI, how you plan to connect to shore. some of the other items in the, that are going to be included in the RFI response is your environmental and resource data and information. And I think more and Tim have both talked about this in a fair amount of detail, is what kind of data do social developers know, what kind of data have they collected the data, if so, what kind of data do they know, or are there any studies they're looking at regarding the ocean bottom? So do they have any idea of what are the environmental resources that exist in that area that they are interested in using, or kind of any information that you have on that. The last item is qualifications. Our rule requires entities, we have actually three, we have legal qualifications, technical as well as financial qualifications. So once you receive these submissions of interest, the very first step that the OEM will do is to qualify the entity to make sure that they meet our requirements for the technical and financial qualifications. So we will make sure that these entities are qualified to in fact hold these. The next is any others and any other kind of information. Now this is something that is going to be peculiar or I would say customized specific to a particular state of project. This is perhaps the most important for all of you here, is how can the task force, you all the task force members, play a role in this whole RFI issuance process. The first is the description of the RFI area. So before we, the OEM goes ahead and puts out an RFI in the Federal Register, we will thoroughly, we will use all the task force members here and the expertise around the table to thoroughly vet the RFI once more. So we, you know, like to make sure, is there anything within this polygon, look where we are thinking of proposing, is there anything that we should be aware of, any exclusionary areas or any conflicts, anything that we should be aware of in this area. Next is required indication of interest information. If you recall in my previous slide, in where I had mentioned the items to be submitted, one of them was the others category, which is the customized or the specific, and that's where this, that would be categorized under the required indication of interest. So that is something, as I said, which is unique to the state. So for a particular project, is there anything that you all as task force members have or the state has that we should include to be submitted in the RFI? That this, we would need this particular piece of information from the applicant when they submit to an RFI. That's something potentially that you all as task force members will have an opportunity to review and comment on during the RFI before we go ahead and put it out in the Federal Register. Okay. Any questions?
John, how's the location of the RFI determined?
I think as Tim mentioned, if we go down, we get an unsolicited application where we just get a request from the developer saying this is where I'm interested in developing, then we would put out that particular area that they're interested in as an RFI. Otherwise, it would come from, I guess, based on the state. You could work with the state to develop a particular area as well.
Tim Reddy, the input of the task force would be very important in what the actual configuration of the request for information. So even if we got a specific unsolicited request for a lease, that could be just assigned to come to the task force. The task force could decide, well, we'll include this, but we'll put it in a larger area just so, because there's more more to find out with a larger area. It's more flexibility. But that's the kind of consideration the task force would have.
Can I just ask that? You just mentioned that if the task force may take without a larger area, we can always, there is an opportunity to zoom the area down, but once the RFI is put out, it's very hard to extend. So I guess you start out with a larger area, eventually you can hone it down to a smaller area. That is possible.
Chris Faulty National Marine Fisheries Service. So I guess I'm a little bit confused. Will the state be submitting some area for a solicited request for an RFI? Or is this all going to be an unsolicited request? And the reason I'm confused is because when we're dealing with the other task forces, those states presented areas in the RFI that the task force then reacted to. That's why I'm a little confused, is that we're not seeing a geographical location for both of us state.
I think that right now, the state of Maine, our agencies, our administration, we do not have a proposed area or polygon that we are ready to bring to a task force. I think that, you know, we've been putting our, I think as has been said a number of times, each state has its own sort of personality around how they're approaching wind energy. And I think given the excellent work of the Governor's Ocean Energy Task Force, the focus has been on directing the PUC to move forward with an RFP for a sub-effort to identify areas in state waters for testing technology, and then for some very larger goals to be established and sort of process established for permitting when it involves the state for both cables and potential offshore wind. Our university has been working very hard and has been a beneficiary of some significant DOE grants. They're doing quite a bit of work looking at a wind energy consortium effort that would test technology in state water test sites, and is also reaching out to some potential deep water wind developers. We're at this point focusing on trying to be ready if an unsolicited bid comes forth, but I think we shouldn't close the door on the possibility that in a couple meetings we may decide, well, maybe we should look at an RFI. But at this point, we're not ready, and we're not sure that that's the best course of action. So we're familiarizing ourselves with all of it. So we are different, I think, than some of the other states. And that's why our focus has been a little bit more on being ready if something comes forth. I ask anyone else who was part of the Ocean Energy Task Force if they want to add to that, or any of the other agencies here if they want to add anything to that.
The task force discussed the issue of identifying sites and gave it a lot of consideration. As everyone knows, you know, Gulf of Maine is a huge area, and we took the best information, which Matt is going to talk about this next, that we have in overlay GIS layers to come up with the test areas for demonstration sites. In terms of, I think there was sentiment on the task force that in a perfect world, the best thing would be to identify areas that were appropriate for development and target investment subsidies and incentives to developers for those areas. I mean, one thing that was even talked about was to do what Texas has done with its wind power development and socialize the cost of infrastructure in those areas. But we also recognize that the amount of information that it would take, that Kathleen has touched on, and I think Matt will touch on, that it would take to do that, we just didn't have. And so what we came up with was, you know, an idea that was Kathleen has touched on it, the Coastal Atlas, that we can talk about in more detail, that we would not be able to do to do what it would take to identify the site, but we would do the most we could to at least narrow areas and perhaps get areas that were inappropriate for development identified. So I think that, you know, we recognize, as I said, in a perfect world, that's where the result of the cost and the time it takes to do that was just not something that we were able to record. We looked at what Rhode Island had spent. We looked at what Massachusetts had done. We were dealing with a much bigger area to start. Kathy, do you want to add anything to that? Or
any other discussion about the RFI?
When we're talking about our next meeting, this task force, I had some good brainstorming discussion over lunch with some of the BOMRIN representatives. And I thought it might be good for this group to look at how a couple of the other task force had identified polygons and areas for an RFI, and maybe actually go through, review how you did that, and what the data was, and how it was narrowed it down or expanded as sort of a dry run. I think that may help us decide whether, in fact, it's something this task force should do. But we're just not ready to make a decision on that right now.
Other questions or discussions about PR? Okay. Now we're going to hear from Matt Nixon, who's going to give us